Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading, I Can Smell When Someone Is Going to Die, and My Scholastic Decathlon Team Stinks of Rotting Lemons. It's by Trashtia. I really hope you enjoy it. Let's get started. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be dead in the next 24 hours. Whether that's the Costella family or whatever this is, I'm not sure. The police are taking forever, and part of me knows they're either refusing to believe me or RC got them too. I'm holed up on our school bus, so I've got nothing better to do. I want to tell you about my team. We met in our sophomore year, strangers standing outside the club room. Levi was the freckled brunette who wouldn't stop talking about Game of Thrones. Sunny, a pretty redhead, told him to shut up. Tom, a sandy blonde, nodding his head to the music corked in his ears. I just wanted to be a part of a club and get away from my overbearing mother. I won't say it was a perfect start. Our school was lacking in funding so anyone could join, which made us more of a quiz club. I had some anxiety, so I stayed on the sidelines for a while, watching rather than taking part. It's not like we actually talked to each other initially. The first few weeks we had played Jeopardy and attempted to find more members to cement us as an official academic decathlon club. Unfortunately, though, it was just the four of us, which made it extremely hard for us to be taken seriously. According to Google, academic decathlon teams were made up of 9 members, placed by their GPA. Our principal laughed at us, but he did let us become official, which was out of pity, I assumed. The club was assembled, and we started meeting up after school. Sort of. Sunny barely showed up, and Levi didn't take anything seriously, preferred to spend the time telling us about his weird family turf war. Our principal dumped us in a tiny classroom with a resident rat living under the floorboards. And there was barely enough room to move, and the four of us crammed together for 3 hours was less than appealing. Still though, I wanted to be a part of a club. I had grown up with parents who were obsessed with board games, so I was pretty good at general knowledge questions. Our club room was too small for anything else but 3 desks. Sunny and I shared one, and a whiteboard we had to shove through the door. But again, we didn't start as an academic club. It was more akin to storytime club. Arriving late on my 3rd day, armed with quiz cards from home, I found Tom and Sunny completely mesmerized by Levi's storytelling skills, drowned in shadow. They didn't even turn the lights on. I strictly remember squeezing next to Sunny and hearing the words, "But there was so much blood over the floor, and my mom told me to go upstairs and hide under the bed." Sitting in front of them was Levi, perched on a desk, his legs swinging, a whiteboard marker between his teeth. Sometimes he'd get up and illustrate parts of his story. It sucked that his drawings were all stick people. I won't go into full details of his life, but Levi grew up as part of a family who had interesting methods of making a living. I had seen the guy's father multiple times when we hung out at his place, and yeah, my friend's family definitely had Soprano vibes. Levi's Draw My Life was nothing to do with the club, but it did bring us closer, even if at that point I was considering leaving. But it's not like it was easy to walk away from these guys. It's like finding your soulmates. Levi wasn't the only one with an interesting life. Sunny Lang was an ex-K-pop trainee who was kicked out for being too fat, which led her to develop a severe eating disorder and a hatred for her own body. Sunny explained her family were originally from Boston, her mother growing up in Korea. She signed up for an idol agency focusing on creating a new girl group and had gotten all the way to the final stages before being kicked for her weight. Sunny told us her story with a smile, though there was a hollowness in her eyes I couldn't ignore. The other girls were judgmental bullies, and the idol diet and brutal regime almost killed her. Sunny lived in a tiny apartment with 9 girls, who would tear each other apart for a chance to debut. Sunny said all the other girls debuted, and when we, not so patiently, asked for names, she shrugged, admitting she signed an NDA that prevented her spilling the beans. What she did say was the K-pop idol is a product, not a person, and are made and molded into a product. She had zero interest in throwing her humanity away to become a manufactured doll. So, one of us was the son of the underground family and the other was an ex-idol. Tom was an aspiring horror writer with a famous older stepbrother. His story times were usually that one time I went to the Met Gala. When it was my turn to reveal my story, I told them the only interesting thing about me. I could smell when something bad was going to happen. They laughed, but I was being serious. When I was a kid, I smelled my mother's brain tumor. I remember it smelled like curdled milk. I asked Mom why her head smelled of moldy milk, and Mom laughed and said it was her shampoo. It was actually a grade 2 tumor growing inside her brain. Thankfully, the tumor was found quickly and removed. And growing older, I became sensitive to smell. The little girl choking on the bus smelled of singed wood, and the old man crossing the road stunk of gasoline. In the fourth grade, my classmate Alex Castor smelled of lemons all morning. I sat behind him, choking on the stink all the way through class. Ever since I met him, Alex had always smelled off. It was a distinct smell I could never understand, and as the days and months and years went by, that smell morphed into a subtle orangey musk that was so strong I had to cover my mouth and nose. Then he smelled like lemons. During recess, I watched Alex fall off of the jungle gym, straight onto his head. Alex Castor was dead before the paramedics arrived, my panicked teacher attempting CPR when his brains were leaking out of his ears. The school claimed it was an accident, but Alex would have been fine if the jungle gym wasn't built on solid concrete. I told my team members this, and Levi was skeptical. "You can smell bad things?" he said. His lips curved around his milkshake straw. In the early days, we hung out in the local bar. It's not like we were allowed inside, but Levi could get us in anywhere. I was squeezed between Tom and Sunny while Levi took the seat opposite us. I couldn't help noticing our waitress was insisting on free milkshake refills, her frantic eyes glued to Levi. I had zero idea why. Levi Costello was about as intimidating as a fruit fly. Wearing a white shirt with a popped collar, a leather jacket thrown over the top, Levi was giving rebellious Harvard student rather than son of a crime family. Leaning forward, he raised a brow, clearly not believing me. "So, you're like a stink psychic." I shrugged, sipping my own shake. "Sure." I wasn't planning on telling him the club room smelled off on our first day. Once we actually started the club, Levi surprised us as the smartest member, and getting to know him further, I came to the realization his family were infamous in our own town. However, his parents hid it well. Lucy and Michael Costella were the owners of a popular ramen store in our town, hiding under the facade of two successful business owners. The Costellas were an attractive family. And Lucy was a sophisticated brunette with a lipstick smile. Michael, a handsome, fluffy-haired man who looked like he modeled glasses. The two were fiercely protective over their youngest son, not so casually reminding us behind grinning smiles that if anything happened to Levi, we would automatically be involved in the family. I mean, they did laugh and say to us, "We're joking, look at your little faces," when Sunny went deathly pale. But there was definitely truth behind their words. Being Levi's friend was challenging at first. Now, Tom and I were in his room studying for finals, and an alarm went off, flooding Levi's room in red light. I had zero idea where it was coming from, but it locked all the doors and windows, forcing the Costello residents into temporary lockdown. Levi didn't seem fazed, casually mentioning his parents were taking care of it. He had a whiteboard set up in his room and was standing in front of it, cramming all of our textbook notes into one easily digestible drawing. And Levi wasn't just smart, he was Ivy League smart, so he had struck gold with him. His family were questionable, and yes, sometimes I did fear for my life, but as the more time we spent at his house, the Costello household became a second home. We got used to the alarms. I just brought along earplugs. I wish I was writing this post about Levi's family, and sure, they are a factor in what is going on right now, but I want to preface this by saying the events below involve the 2024 Scholastic Decathlon Final in our town with the schools listed, Starbrook High School, Ratcliffe High School. And please note, the incident that took place last night was immediately covered up and all phone footage was destroyed. Our town is mostly out of the way and does not show up in Google searches. We also have our own version of the Academic Decathlon, which is a more town-level competition due to lacking funds. The four of us were desperate to start competing with our schools, so we started taking things a little more seriously. We got a coach, Mr. Haynes, who was hesitant at first. In his words, "You will hate me as a coach." He started by recruiting more members, announcing, "If you want to be taken seriously as an actual club, then I'll be taking the reins from now on." He did, and with our teacher's guidance and sometimes brutal honesty, we reached a level where we could start competing with other schools in town. Now, none of us knew this, but Mr. Haynes was obsessed with winning. So club meetings were twisted into two-hour study sessions with no talking, followed by Mr. Haynes' Jeopardy, which was Jeopardy without the actual fun. We were quizzed multiple times, answer cards and practice questions quite literally thrown directly in our faces. I hate to admit this, I really hate to admit this, but Mr. Haynes' tactics worked. Sure, we had been mildly brainwashed by our slightly unhinged coach, but with Levi Costella, we destroyed our competitors. Like I said, our town held their own version of the academic scholastic decathlon, but it was pretty much the same, with some changes. 10 subjects, language and literature, math, social science, economics, art, music, interview, speech, and essay. Unlike the official decathlon, ours was more like a game show, with the ability to be knocked out if a team member answers a question wrong. Whoever answers the most questions correctly wins. Team meetups were either tests, study sessions, or quizzing each other. Which leads me to last night. The finals were held in the reigning champions, Ratcliffe High School's auditorium, and we were about to win our town's Scholastic Decathlon 2024 championships. Well, I was knocked out in the music section, standing next to my coach who I was sure was going to asphyxiate from excitement. I could smell the sudden potent stink of lemon. I tried to ignore it at first, but the more questions my team were answering correctly, the smell got worse, suffocating my senses. This wasn't just lemon. The stink was like a burning, singeing smell trickling into my nose and the back of my throat. It was stronger than what Alex smelled like. This was suffocating and drowning my thoughts. "Are you okay, Cassandra?" Mr. Haynes nudged me when a Ratcliffe girl was struggling to answer a question, only for Sunny to jump in with the answer. "You look quite pale." I nodded, forcing a smile. My gaze was on the Ratcliffe coach, a scary-looking blonde woman whispering in one of her students' ears. The Ratcliffe kid freaked me out. He was way too tall, dark blonde hair and bulging eyes I swear were not blinking. His gaze was glued to Levi, who wore a smug grin. And there was a smaller girl next to the Ratcliffe kid, a MacBook balanced on her knees. Every so often, he leaned into her, the two of them in deep conversation. "I'm just nervous." I jumped when Ratcliffe scored a point, their side erupting into cheers. During the break, we had a mini-team meeting. Sunny rushed to the bathroom to freshen up and I noticed a Ratcliffe girl with a bouncing ponytail following her. Ignoring our coach's speech, I joined the two girls in the corridor, that lemony scent hanging thick in the air. I caught them in an awkward position. The Ratcliffe girl had her fingers pinched between the material of Sunny's dark blue shirt bearing our school's name. Sunny looked confused. Her lips parted like she was going to yell. Ponytail dropped her hand, suddenly with a nervous laugh. "Oh, I'm so sorry," she gushed. "You had like the biggest spider crawling on your back." Sunny caught my eye, shooting me a reassuring smile. "Thanks." She made sure to keep her distance. Where's your bathroom?" The Ratcliffe girl nodded down the hallway. "It's just down there. I'm going there too if you want me to show you." Sunny motioned for me to go back to the auditorium. Sure, that'd be great." I did try to follow them, only for Sunny to cough loudly. I took the hint, reluctantly heading back into the auditorium. My team was hyping each other up, Levi in the center, sweating through his team shirt. He ran a trembling hand through his hair. "I can't do this," he groaned. "Ratcliffe High is known to play dirty, man. They're unbeatable." "In what way do they play dirty?" I asked, joining him. Levi gulped down water, shrugging. I don't know. They're already trying to distract me with the stink eye." The boy narrowed his eyes at a grinning Ratcliffe kid, who, after noticing our stares, jumped to his feet, waving at us. "Hey, guys." "That's Harry Cartwright, the son of the Cartwright family, who tried to kill my parents in the third grade." Levi mockingly waved back. "As you can see, their kid is a damn psychopath." "Huh. I wasn't expecting the smiley kid to be the mobster's son. Harry Cartwright was not what I expected." Unlike his team members, he was the only one in casual clothing, a short-sleeved white shirt and jeans, a pair of sunglasses perched atop of his head. Tom went pale. "Damn," he hissed. "He's one of you? Then those bastards will have a reason to play dirty, right?" Levi shrugged, averting his gaze. It was the first time I saw his eyes darken, like he was subtly telling the boy to back off. "The Cartwrights have been trying to buy our land for a while," he muttered. "I wouldn't put it past them to use the decathlon as a way to attack." "Attack?" April, another member of our team, hissed. "Like, attack, attack?" Mr. Haynes grabbed the boy, resting his hands on Levi's shoulders. "Ignore them," he said. "Hey, look at me." Levi did, raising a brow. "You're losing that spark in your eye, young man." "Spark?" Our coach nodded. "Look at me, kid." Levi rolled his eyes. "I am looking at you, Mr. Haynes." The man was shaking. I was guessing his whole career, or coaching career, was on the line. "They know they're losing, Mr. Costello." Haynes shook the boy, squeezing his shoulders. "You are being positive and Ratcliffe doesn't like that. They want you to be nervous. They want you to make you second-guess yourself and lose confidence. Don't let them get into your head." He smiled, giving the boy a playful shove. "Kick their asses." "Exactly." I didn't realize Sunny was back from the bathroom. The faint smell of lemons had followed her. I noticed a wet patch on her shirt collar, though she was quick to smile at me, admitting she'd spilled water down herself. Sunny wrapped her arms around Levi, squeezing him into a hug. She hung on for a little too long. Tom dragging her away with a laugh. "Good luck, all right." She backed away, ruffling his hair. "We've got this." When I hugged Levi good luck too, I had to resist overcoming my nose. The smell of lemon was unbearable, just like fourth grade Alex. But it wasn't as potent as earlier. I vaguely remembered the smell starting to fade once Alex's body was being carted away on a stretcher. Following my captain through the crowd, I was right. The smell was less suffocating. Before he went back to the stage, I grabbed the back of his shirt. The material was soaking wet. "How are you so wet?" I said, swiping my hands on my shirt. "Huh?" I shook my head. "Never mind. Do you remember what I told you in sophomore year?" Levi settled me with a confident but nervous smile. "That you're scared of clowns?" "No, I mean the boy who smelled of lemons," I gritted out. Levi surprised me with a laugh. "What are you talking about?" Something ice cold trickled down my spine. Levi did know what I was talking about. He brought up my stink sense a day earlier in front of his parents, and I had to cover his mouth to shut him up. Leaning close, I whispered in his ear, "You stink of rotten lemons." He nodded slowly, pulling away. Thanks? I bit back a hiss of frustration. "No, you don't understand what I'm saying." "Starbrook High School," the host announced. "Can all members please return to the stage?" Levi held up his hand for a high five. "Can we do this later?" he winked. "I'm kind of busy carrying the spelling bee on my back right now." I nodded shakily, high-fiving him and letting him jump back onto the stage. Before his words hit me like a tidal wave, ice-cold water slamming into me. "Spelling bee?" Slowly, making my way back to the stands, Levi's mistake was circling around my head. He did win a spelling bee, but that was in middle school. And thankfully, the smell of lemons was gone when I returned to my seat. Mr. Haynes handed me a soda. "Chill out, Cassandra. It's just a game." He could talk. The guy was on his fifth coffee. Mr. Haynes was not chilled out in the slightest. Surprisingly, the event went well. I was half expecting my team to be crushed by the rafters or caught in a blaze started in the crowd, but we were doing well. No, we were winning. Reaching the climaxing round, Sunny choked against a smug Ratcliffe boy, joining me on the sidelines. Levi answered the next question with a confident smile. We were winning, but Ratcliffe could still catch up with a miracle. The second to last question was to Ratcliffe, and it was general knowledge. Where on the human body would one find the orbit? I knew the answer, and so did Levi, his lips breaking out into a smile when the Ratcliffe boy was hesitating, eyes wide. Our school's buzzer went off, Levi slamming his fist down. Bzzzt. The host turned to our team. "Starbrook, can I have your answer?" Levi nodded, shooting our team a victory grin. "It's..." He opened his mouth to answer, his jaw slackening suddenly. The boy's shoulders slumped. Levi inclined his head, blinking, his eyes glazing over. There was a sudden, hollow vacancy that sent chills down my spine. It was like someone had reached into his skull and yanked out his brain, leaving a shell in his place. To my confusion, our team captain frowned at his buzzer, like he'd never seen one before. He pressed it, exploding into childlike giggles. Psst. The audience laughed along nervously. Tom nudged me. What the hell is he doing? Psst. 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 Levi's entire body was slumped, his hand slamming down on the buzzer. I caught something pooling down his chin. Is he drooling? I whispered. Mr. Haynes looked mildly horrified. Has he been drinking? Levi? Tom spluttered. Drinking? Whatever we were watching, however, was definitely influenced by something. Bzz, 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 bzz. Young man, that is not a toy. The host wasn't amused. Starbrook High School, I need an answer from you. He nodded to Levi, who was pressing the buzzer, his smile growing. Once again, the host backed away, like Levi was contagious. Where on the human body would one find the orbit? Levi cocked his head, lips parted. His gaze found the overhead lights, and he winced, his lips curling into a frown. Starbrook High School. Levi jumped, tipping his head back and blowing a raspberry. Palm tree? The audience laughed, and I started feeling nervous. Across from us, I could see the twist of a smirk on the Ratcliffe coach's lips. Bzz. Levi slammed the buzzer again, giggling. Starbrook High School, if your team continues to act like this, I will be forced to disqualify all members. Our captain stopped, gaze glued to the host, his hand creeping towards the buzzer like it was a big red button. The audience loved it, laughing like they were watching a sitcom. You wouldn't, Tom whisper shrieked. The auditorium was silent for a moment, awaiting Starbrook's response. Levi stuck out his tongue, slamming his hand down. Bzz, 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 bzz. When Tom dragged Levi away from his podium, a Ratcliffe girl hit her buzzer. Starbrook High School, you are disqualified, the host announced. Ratcliffe High School, do you have an answer? It was Ponytail who nodded with a grin. The answer is the eye socket. The orbit is part of the eye socket. That is correct. The host was distracted, his eyes glued to Levi. Ratcliffe High School wins. Levi jumped when the Ratcliffe wide erupted into cheers. His eyes were wide, clinging onto the buzzer for comfort. Next to me, our coach looked like he was going to faint. I barely noticed Ratcliffe's victory, too busy watching our team captain, who was Harvard-bound, tipping his head back and smiling at the ceiling like a newborn baby. Tom dragged the stumbling boy over to me, his mouth twisted. This was Ratcliffe, right? He hissed, shaking our captain, who was struggling, squirming in his grip. Did they put something in his drink? He prodded Levi. Hey, what did they do to you? Still, though, drugging his drink didn't make sense. Levi never left the auditorium and kept his water bottle with him the whole time. How did they even manage to slip something into his drink in the first place? Did I smell our competitors drugging him? Sure, intentionally inebriating my teammate was morally wrong and illegal, but why could I smell lemon? I doubt it was Ratcliffe, Sonny squeezed next to me. I've been watching them. They're harmless. Then how the hell do we explain this to his parents? Tom whispered, grappling with Levi, who was fighting to get back to the buzzer. When Tom let go of him, he dropped onto the floor, crawling over to his podium. It was like watching a child who was determined to piss off the adults. Levi jumped back to unsteady feet. His gaze was glued to the host. A smile curved on his lips when he slammed the buzzer again. Bzzz. Someone please remove the Starbrook boy from the stage. I was embarrassed, the whole team ducking our heads as our captain was forcibly removed from the podium. Mr. Haynes grabbed Levi, pulling him off of the stage. I expected our coach to be mad at him, but I think the teacher was more worried. A phone pressed to his ear while he forced the boy into a sitting position. No, I don't think it's influence from alcohol. I could hear his conversation. Levi kept trying to get up, mesmerized by the buzzer. The teacher was firm but gentle. Hey, sit down, all right? Keep still. He went back to his phone call, gently prying Levi's eyes open. From what I can see, there's nothing wrong. He's just kind of... Mr. Haynes swiped his own hands on his jeans. What? Team Ratcliffe came over to rub it in our faces, though I was still tuned into our coach's hissed whispering. Water? No, I don't think it's water. It smells. No, I haven't told his parents. You guys did awesome. Ponytail's voice was sugary sweet. Too sugary. She held the 2024 trophy, bearing a satisfied smile. I noticed the Ratcliffe members were surrounding Harry like guards.
Better luck next time, okay?
She held out her hand, her eyes twinkling.
No hard feelings?
Control your dog, Harry said, amused eyes flicking to Levi, who was once again sprinting back to the damn buzzer. His eyes had visibly darkened, lips curled into a triumphant smile. Harry Cartwright was watching Mr. Haynes chase our team captain like it was his own personal entertainment. I had to look away before I died of secondhand embarrassment.
What did you put in his drink? Tom demanded.
Weed? Edibles? The boy attempted to shove Harry, only to be pushed back.
What the hell did you do to him?
Harry's smile didn't waver. Like I said, control your mutt. When the Ratcliffe team walked away, our red-faced coach, struggling with Levi, who was behaving progressively more erratically, informed us we were no longer welcome inside the school. Tom suggested calling an ambulance, but our coach was hesitant. We all knew who Levi's family were. On the way out, Tom matched my stride. He was frowning at our team captain struggling to walk. The way he was acting was already eyebrow-raising, but walking at an angle and being unable to stand up straight was worrying.
I don't think they drugged his drink, Tom muttered.
We pushed through the doors out of the school, and I reveled in the cool night air grazing my cheek.
If they did, he would be acting out of it, right? So what's the deal with him acting like a child? I finished for him.
Yeah, Tom leaned closer. Do you think this has something to do with the turf war? I slapped out a bug creeping across my cheek. Levi fell over again, this time, bursting into giggles.
Almost definitely.
Levi was right about Ratcliffe playing dirty. I didn't realize how dirty until we were on the loser's bus home. Levi was in the seat next to me, and the kid hadn't moved since we left Ratcliffe. His eyes wide, lips pulled into a dazed grin.
Psst.
The noise startled me from slumber. I was drooling, my head pressed against the window. Outside, the sky was pitch dark, and squinting through the glass, I couldn't get a bearing on where we were. I thought I was hearing things, but when I sat up, I heard it again.
Bzzzt.
It was close. Leaning over the boy, I glimpsed a smear of scarlet on his headrest. I choked on my words.
Tom?
Tom was in front of me listening to music. He didn't reply, his head of dark blonde curls nodding to the beat.
Levi?
I managed to get out. I prodded him and his head lolled onto his shoulder.
Hey, can you sit up?
Bzzzt. Bzzzt. When the boy didn't move, I gently grabbed his shoulders and pulled him forward myself, something contracting in my stomach. I don't know how long it takes for your mind to fully register something, but my body was already reacting. Levi's seat was infested with bugs, eating their way through the upholstery. I was aware of my body moving back. I threw up, instantly, screaming into my hand. The back of my best friend's skull resembled a deflated soccer ball. What was left of his brain leaking from his skull where a swarm of skittering bugs chewed their way through brain tissue, metallic legs scratching the curved, pearly white of the base of his skull. Levi's head hung, his body flopping into mine, but his eyes were still open, lips still stretched into a smile. Blood ran in thick rivulets from his nose and ears.
Bzzz. I could see them.
Black writhing dots alive in his eyes, wriggling movement under his skin.
Tom!
I jumped up, stumbling into the aisle, my stomach heaving. And it was only when I was on my knees, swiping bile from my lips, when I realized the others weren't reacting. Tom wasn't moving. I pulled an AirPod out of his ear, a long, slithering string of pink attached to the end. There was a stray bug skittering across his hand, his face starting to twitch and writhe. Moving back, I checked myself over, my hands shaking, head, shoulders, hair. Clawing through it, my breath was stuck in my throat. Arms, legs, feet. Mr. Haynes was slumped against the window, a reddish froth bubbling from his mouth.
Sunny.
I started towards the back of the bus, but all I had to see was her bowed head, half of her skull chewed through. Sunny was in a far more deteriorated state. Her face had been ripped through, a skeletal smile glinting in the dim. The thick black smear on the window next to her was moving, and when I screamed for the driver to stop the bus, he ignored me.
If anything, he stamped on the gas. I moved forward to shake him before glimpsing a bug creeping down his face. Calling 911, the operator laughed at me. "Bugs are eating your friends?" he said. "Do you know the penalty for calling with bullcrap pranks?" The bus didn't stop, so I stayed at the front, while the bugs took over the back, eating through my teammates. And after 4 hours, I risked leaning over the seat next to Tom to check on Levi. They were eating him, chewing all the way through the skin, muscle, and bone. I tried to stop the bus, but the driver's hands were tightly wrapped around the wheel. Another hour and blood was seeping down the aisle, crawling with bugs. Levi was gone, and in his place, a buzzing, skittering pile of bugs that I thought were going to move to a second victim, maybe burrowing into the seats. But no, these things began to tremble, replicating, building. Slowly, nothing became static, and static became muscle, then bone, then flesh. When a body began to slowly form, molded from the dead boy, I stumbled back. These things weren't eating Levi Costello. They were rewriting him. I'm still on the bus. I'm 99% sure that I'm infected with whatever this thing is. I can't stop itching. I keep picking them off me, but they won't stop. And this bus isn't going to stop until I'm like the others. I can feel them chewing into my skull. They're in my ears. I keep spitting them out. Please, someone get them off of me. Help me, I don't want to die at 17. Still alive. Still breathing. Maybe they're leaving me alone. I think I'm okay. There's a pile of bugs at my feet, but they're crawling off of me. Levi really wants to go home. Like, he just told me he really wants to go home. He's got a gift for his parents. Levi is next to me right now, an odd smile on his face. The bugs are not finished building him yet, but he'll be ready soon. We will be ready soon. Your son says hello. He is a wonderful boy, is he not? Mr. and Mrs. Costello, I cannot wait for you to meet him. He is our greatest achievement, and rest assured, you will give us what we want. Warm regards, the Cartwrights. And that's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you're on YouTube, consider subscribing and liking the video so YouTube knows that this stuff isn't hot garbage. I'd also love to hear your thoughts in the comments below if you're on YouTube. If you're anywhere else, I'm not sure what your options are, but I really appreciate you for listening. I really hope you did enjoy this story. And if you have any suggestions or like to send your own story to me, go to storiesaftermidnight.com. A huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. And come join our Discord. Come talk to us. It's a fun place. We'd love to see you there. I hope you enjoyed yourself. We'll see you in the next one.